Good afternoon, Hanley. Somebody maybe here like a copy of God's Word. A nice introduction to Jesus, the Savior, God's only begotten Son, sent into the world that you and me might be saved. John, he tells us that his gospel was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name, because God, there's no life apart from Jesus. But God so loved the world, you see, that's the good news that we come to you with. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that, you know, in hearing about Jesus, well, that, you know, you'd not just hear the voice, you know, of a man, not just hearing the voice of a preacher, that's not good enough. Now, you need to hear a higher voice, you know, you need to hear the voice of Jesus himself speaking to you and calling you to himself, that you might know his love. Because, see, Jesus, Bible says, you know, I have an authority. Bible says, you know, that Jesus loved sinners and gave himself for them. Happen maybe you don't love yourself too much, you know. But, you know, if you be a sinner like the rest of us, and then there's somebody who loved sinners, the Bible says, and gave himself, that is, you know, went to that cross, died for them, so that they could come to know his love which is beyond degree, immense, infinite, indescribable, you know, it's just super fantastic, you know, it's just words that can't do it, you know what I mean? Well, the words of a man anyway. Last 2,000 years, men have been trying to, you know, explain to other people about the love of Jesus, trying to bring to them, you know, some conception of his love, you know, but, you know, fails every time because, you know, it's only Jesus, it's only him revealing himself to you that you can come to. Actually, you know, like we say back home in Scotland, it's better felt than telt, better experience than me telling you, in other words. So my hope, my prayer for you is, as I offer God's Word to you here this afternoon, John's Gospel, is that you might take a copy, that you might read, meditate, study, you know, digest the Word of God, and in doing so, just, well, you know, as Jesus says, that the revelation might come home to you, you know, hit you like a bolt out of heaven, you know, wow, this is the Son of God, and he came into this world and died on a cross, did for you what no religion ever did for you, nor the man ever did for you, only Jesus, no other Savior, none other name under heaven, the whole canopy of heaven, whereby a person can be saved, only through Jesus, mighty Son of God. But you got to see that in your heart, your mind. It's got to be revealed to you, more than told to you. And you've got to feel it, you've got to experience it in your heart, in your innermost being. And then, well, you come, you know, everything changes. Wow, just like in a nanosecond, you know? You know Jesus, sir? You know Jesus? Everything changes, my friend, you know, everything. You see the world differently. You see your neighbor differently, self differently, everything just changes. And for the better, not for the worse, for the better. Jesus never made people worse. He only makes them better. So you like a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you freely, John's Gospel. No cost, no obligation to you. Yours simply and only for the taking. Jesus, he says, in John's Gospel, if you'd like to read it for yourself, he says in chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Marvel not, he says. Don't be astonished. Because the religious man he was talking to, he was astonished. Religious people, folks, they don't get it either. You know? The religious guy he was talking to, he was nonplussed, you know? What do you mean, he says, born again? How can a man be born again? How can he return to his mother's womb and be reborn? He was thinking physical. But that's all you do when all you are is physical. All you are is just got religion, you know? You see, my friends, he didn't understand. And of course, many, many don't. But I tell you, you know, Jesus says, marvel not. But I tell you, you can't help but marvel, because I tell you, it's a mystery. Who can explain it? You know, it's a heavenly thing. It's a miraculous thing. It's, you know, of all the miracles that the apostles, the followers of Jesus performed, they healed the sick, they raised the dead to life, all kinds of miracles, wonderful, wonders of God they performed. But I tell you, none like this. None like this, when a man, a woman, a child is reborn, is given new life, is made a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's what the new birth, that's what being born again, that's what it does. You see, it changes a person's entire being from the top right to the tip of their toes, inside and outside. It changes. It's a miracle. It's resurrection from the dead, sir. It's what we call regeneration, the making new of everything. That's not the same, you see. That's not the same as being religious. That's not the same as going to church. That's not the same as saying your prayers. You can do all these things. You can do good things, you know, like that. But my friends, that's not the same as being born again. This is a miracle. This is a heavenly matter. This is something only God can perform. Man cannot. Marvel not, says Jesus. Marvel not that I say unto you that ye must be born again, because you must be. You must be, my friend. No other way by which a person gets right with God, gets into the kingdom of God, and gets into heaven when their earthly existence comes to an end. Heaven, my friend, is only for those who have been reborn of God's Spirit, wrought upon miraculously by God, changing their very natures, their whole beings. So how would you know, you say? How would I know that I've been born again? What are the signs? What are the effects? Well, Jesus says, you can tell the wind by the effect. The wind blows, and you see the trees moving. You see the leaves rolling on the ground. The discarded paper, you see it blowing along the street. You can tell the wind is blowing by the effects that it causes. And you can tell, my friends, you can tell if a person has been born again by the effects, my friends, the effects in their souls, in their innermost being, and their outer too. The signs, my friends, will be there, undoubtedly, because signs follow. You see, this work of regeneration, this miracle that God performs upon those whom he will save, even Jesus, who says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one that is, who gives life from the dead, who causes dead sinners to live. He speaks and it's done. He wills and it's done. The mighty Jesus, the Son of God, whom we present to you today, who loved sinners, sinners just like you, of all stripes, I tell you, big ones and small ones, great ones and not so great ones, matters not. Matters not what your sins be. Matters not how we could tell you of the vilest offenders who have believed and trusted in Jesus, who have been born again. Jesus comes. Oh, he goes places where you and I can't go. He goes into prisons and he transforms men there. He goes into asylums. He goes into churches. He goes into synagogues and mosques. There's nowhere that Jesus can't go. And my friend, he saves whoever he desires to save. And my friend, whatever your sin might be, it might be religious variety. Maybe you're an idolater. Maybe you're in the kind of religious assembly that you ought not to be. It's not acceptable to God. Or maybe you term yourself, as many do in our society today, you know, as an atheist. Don't believe that God is. Well, my friend, you have a natural knowledge of God, God says. And that natural knowledge of God, well, that can't save you. That can't bring you into a right relationship with God. But that natural knowledge that you have of God leaves you without any excuse whatsoever for not being saved. So let's be clear, my friends. I tell you, whatever the sin is, out and out godlessness, profanity, immorality of the sexual kind and others, my friends, religious sin, however many, however long you've been at it, whether you're 9 or 90, or somewhere in between, oh Jesus, I tell you, my friends, he saves all stripes of sinners. He causes them miraculously to be born again, and then the signs follow, and you can tell, and the person can know that he or she has been born again. Not just presumption, my friends. There comes, you see, one of the marks, one of the signs that a person has been born again. And these are essential, I tell you. There's conviction of sin. It's an indispensable mark, I tell you, of a person having been reborn. There's a conviction of sin. They've seen themselves for the first time in their life to be what they really are before God. Oh, before they knew. You know, they would have knowledge. They would have acknowledged, yeah, I've done things I shouldn't have done, you know. I regret it, you know, and my conscience bothers me and all that, you know. But that's not the same as being convicted of your sin. That you sinned against love. You sinned against the love of Jesus. You sinned against the most exquisite love. You sinned against heaven. You sinned against God. And you are absolutely mortified by this revelation, this conviction in you. You see, again, you can be religious. You can spend your life in a mosque and never know that you're a wicked sinner, vile and undone, ruined before God. Or even in a church. Happens, my friend. So you see, that's one of the first essential marks, signs that a person has been reborn, that God comes to them by His Spirit and He convicts them of their sin, their own personal involvement in sin and its guilt before Almighty God. That's an essential, my friend. And then, my friend,
also to give it the salvation.
Yes, that's right.
Salvation is through Jesus.
You saved?
I have saved because I'm born again.
Good.
Praise the Lord. He died on the cross for me. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
God, preach the message.
Amen.
You'll be blessed.
Amen. So you see, my friend, conviction of sin. But here's the thing. You see, when the new life begins in our sinner's soul, it's not a bed of roses. I tell you, when that conviction of sin comes, it brings pain, my friend. It's sore. It hurts. God wounds the soul. And you see, this is essential. This is necessary. He has to break your heart before He mends it. Because you see, the heart is hardened. The heart's like a lump of marble. And the new birth, Jesus causing a person to be born again, He takes the heart of stone out of them. He takes that lump of marble, you see, inside you and he breaks it, he wounds it, and you feel the pain because you've offended God, you've offended the Most High. Professors, my friend, professors abound. We have them in abundance in our churches. Professors of religion, professors of Christianity. Have you been born again? Yes. What does it mean? They don't know because they've never experienced it. They've never been wounded. Their hearts have never been broken. They're just professors of religion, that's all. No good to man nor beast, my friend. God has to come. He has to break. He has to wound your heart, my friend. My friend, a person whom Jesus would justify must first of all come to a realization of their condemnation. That you're a condemned criminal. What would you want for Jesus? What would you want Jesus for unless you knew that you were a condemned criminal? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to make men prosperous. He didn't come to heal their physical diseases. He came to save sinners, my friend. Unjustified, condemned, guilty before the tribunal of God, and fit for the damnation of hell. But unless you see yourself in that condition, what need would you have of Jesus? So in order, those whom Jesus would justify, first of all, he makes them feel their condemnation. That they are condemned to the uttermost, guilty as hell and fit for hell. And they need Jesus like they need nothing else. Tell you this afternoon, my friend, you need Jesus more than you need to breathe. Saw your condemnation. Jesus revealed the uttermost of your condemnation before God. You would swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus, sir. You would. You see yourself hellish. Hellish, undone. Without a hope in heaven and without a hope in hell, as you see. So God kills by the law before he brings the healing of the gospel. He brings the law to bear upon the man, upon the woman that Jesus would justify. He comes with the law because by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's a law that condemns us. Like them great big cannon guns pointed at you in your direction, with the judge, his finger on the trigger, ready to blow you away into a lost eternity, unless you're born again. Unless Jesus justifies you. But you see, he must kill you with the law first. He must slay you, my friend. He must lay you on your back, because you would never look up until he lays you on your back. Until you realize the reality of your state and condition. Until Mr. Moses comes with his law. And he convicts you. And once he's convicted you, once he's shredded you of every ounce of your self-righteousness, then he turns to you and he says, I can't do nothing more for you. And you think, help, what do I do? Who do I go to? And Moses says to you, well, try Jesus. Try Jesus, go to him. Because he's the justifier of the ungodly. Nobody else can justify you before God. Make you right, that is. The Spirit of God, you see, comes. And he convicts of sin. Your own personal sin. He convicts of righteousness. The righteousness of God in Christ. Only place is to be found. And of the judgment, my friend. What it means to be born again. The signs that follow. The effects of a man, a woman having been born again. Not just a profession of faith. Not just a nod of the head, a wink of the eye. Not just lip service to God. But my friends, the miracle, the miraculous, the heavenly, the almighty Jesus, by the wind of His Spirit, causing a complete, total renovation of your soul, convicting you of your sin. And as we come to you, my friends, we seek to produce such conviction in you. I cannot do it beyond our pay grade, but we seek, we try, we bring the Word of God to bear upon you, not in order to give you a bad day, not in order to give you some more depression, not just to bring doom and gloom to you, but my friends, you've got to hear the bad news. Because until you hear the bad news, and until you receive the bad news, until you are convicted by God's Spirit, my friend, of the sinner that you are, you're never going to see your need of Jesus. You're never going to call upon His name. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. My friend, no conviction of sin. Never ever convicted of your sin. You've never been born again. You might be a church goer. You might be a sayer of prayers. You might go to a mosque. You might go to a synagogue, a temple, a church. But you've never been born again. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again, says Jesus. Because you must be. Jesus says so. But then, my friends, following the signs following the new birth, there is a simple faith. Jesus protects all those of a childlike faith. Oh, I tell you, the smallest seed of faith clears a man, a woman before God. It might not be a mountain-moving faith. It might not be a miracle-working faith. The smallest seed of faith, I tell you, that lays hold upon Jesus, Jesus justifies that sinner. A simple faith, my friend, that's the primary concern. That's the target for which we're looking for. There's got to be faith, my friend, because it's faith that justifies. But you see, the one whom Jesus would justify, oh, they made you the spokesman of this.
It's been gay sin.
Huh?
It's been gay sin.
That's my friend, yeah. So like I say, my friends, the gospel, the good news, Jesus, get it out of your mind. Get it out of your minds, young people. It's all you can think about. You're indoctrinated with the filth. Well, get your minds cleaned out. Get yourself born again. So you see, my friends, it's faith that justifies. There's no justifying. There's no salvation until the simple matter of faith is reached. But when Jesus, when He justifies, when He causes a man or woman to be born again, this is the sign. This is the sure-fire sign. A man or woman has been born again. They have a simple faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior of sinners. You come to the place, my friend, where you're done with yourself. You see there's no good in you. You see that there's nothing in you that could merit favor with God. You see that there's nothing that any man can do for you. Not even a vicar, not even a minister. Nothing a church can do for you. Nothing anybody can do for you. You must of Jesus. You must, as He says, you must believe in Him. Because if you can believe, says Jesus, all things are possible to him that believes. Simple faith, my friend. Sure, fire, sign that a person has been born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This person has come to the place of trusting Jesus for salvation, for forgiveness of all their sins, all that he ever did. ashamed of it, mortified at the things that they've said and done in the past, but now justified, now clear, now forgiven by faith in Jesus, reconciled to God, at one with God for time and for eternity, trusting in Jesus for a complete salvation. All their past sins and their present sins and all their future sins. Because the truth of the matter is they're going to sin again. And they're going to keep on sinning until they're finished with this planet Earth. All their sins, a complete salvation, my friend, is what Jesus brings. On the back of the new birth, when a man or woman is born again, eternal preservation. I give unto them eternal life, he says. And they shall never perish, cannot perish. When God puts life into a man's soul, when Jesus causes a person to be born again to eternal life, my friends, it is. Eternal, everlasting life. He doesn't make somebody alive to kill them again. He makes them alive and he preserves them in life. He keeps them through time and through eternity. Born again to eternal and everlasting life. Oh, my friends, he bears Jesus. He bears all your sins, or he bears none of them at all. That is not what this envy is. Jesus, when he causes a man or woman to be born again, to be convicted of their sins, brought to a simple childlike state, except you become his children, says Jesus, with a childlike simple faith, and be converted, turned out of your sin, and turned into the kingdom of God. Unless, except that happens, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, he said. Marvel not. You must be born again. This is God's doing. He must do it. Nobody else can. But my friend, oh, I tell you, when Jesus, when he agrees to take your sins away, he agrees to take them all away. All of them, or none at all. He's a complete Savior, my friends, and he justifies freely from all things. The Bible says. Good afternoon, madam. How are you? You're a Christian, madam?
Tomorrow I'm going to London for.
For? Am I?
Yeah, for the church.
Oh, you mean to be baptized? Yeah, okay. What can I ask you? May I ask you? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? No? No? Where are you going? Come speak to me. Come speak to me, yeah. So where are you going to be baptized? Where about?
In the church?
So who's going to baptize you? So who's going to baptize? Who?
The Chinese? Yeah. In London.
In London. Okay, well, I don't want to put problems in your mind, but Jesus says, marvel not, but I say to you, you must be born again. What does he mean? That's a difficulty. Understand that. Right? So, like I say, I don't want to come to the wrong conclusion. But the thing is, see, when a person has been born again, this is what we'll be talking about, yeah, is that Jesus convicts them of their sin. Yeah? Yeah, you know you're a sinner before God. Yeah? And then Jesus, he introduces faith. He causes us to trust in him. His death, his resurrection, his cross. Yeah, you.
Yeah, I believe.
So you're a forgiven woman. Jesus has forgiven you, yes?
Yes, yes.
Yes? Okay. Well, I hope your baptism goes well. And you have a good day.
Yes, thank you.
Have a good day. God bless you. Difficult in the language, yeah? Gotta be careful, eh? Don't want to cause problems. So my friends, my advice to you is, rest not until you know. Rest not until you know that you've been converted. Not just churchianity, not just religiosity. Have you been converted? You say, what on earth does that mean? Well, if you don't know, you've not been born again. Because except you are converted, says Jesus, unless you have that simple, childlike faith in Jesus to have taken all your sins away, brought to you a complete salvation, my friend, you've not been born again. Rest not until you have been, until you are converted. Troubles you? Causes you anxiety? Well, I suggest, do you go home? Go home and shut your door. Fasten them shut and get on your knees and cry out to God, to Jesus Christ even. And tell him that you're not converted. Tell them that you need to be converted. Tell him that you need to be born again, because he says so. And cry out to him and give him no rest until he comes to you and until you know that you're converted. Heaven depends upon it. Heaven or hell's at stake here, my friend. Not playing religious games. You got enough of that in your world already. This is serious. This is deadly serious. When you breathe your last, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give account. Even for this occasion, when you heard the declaration of the love of Jesus for your soul, and you go home and you say, you shrug it off and you say, just more religion. You say it, everything will be okay. I guess 99.99% of the human race have that same attitude. It'll be okay. They don't know how, but it'll be okay. It will not be okay if you're not born again. Ye must be, Jesus says so. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Until you have the evidence of the conviction of sin, of faith in Jesus to take away your sin, a sincere faith, my friend, you've not been born again until you have such. But then there comes repentance of sin, which comes first. Well, I don't know, that's hard to say. It's all of a piece. You see, when Jesus causes a man to be born, a woman to be born again, you see, he brings all these things into play. And everybody's experience isn't exactly the same. So some things, you know, there's mystery involved. This is heaven. This is miracle. This is supernatural. An area where we can't be dogmatic. But repentance there must be, because Jesus says, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's some people, and they'll tell you know, some church people, they'll tell you, it just means a change of mind. Well, yes, it does mean a change of mind, but what a change of mind! Oh, man! It's revolutionary. It's deep down, my friend. In every aspect of your life, every sphere of your life. The view of the world, the universe, God, mankind. The destination, my friends. The destination. Because there's a terminus. Ah, oh, there's a terminus, my friend. Exactly. Listen to the man. Where will you spend eternity?
Yes.
An old question, yes. But where? Heaven! Born again! Bound for heaven! Or hell!
Come.
The devil and his angels! So repentance it must be, my friends, a change, cataclysmic change of mind. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. A change of mind. Leaving your sins behind. No thought of returning to them. You bring them to the cross. That's what you do with your sin. You don't take it to the doctor. You don't take it to the priest. You don't take it to the religious guru in the mosque. You bring your sins to the cross of Jesus Christ, and you lay your sins at his feet, and you leave them there. You don't walk away bringing them with you, because you're not going back there ever again. You're not going to do the dirty thing anymore. You're not going to do the filthy thing anymore. You're not going to do the profanity anymore. You're not going to do the cursing anymore. You're not going to do the lusting anymore. You bring it to the cross and you leave it there. Never, never to pick it up again. Leaving your sins, my friend. Sins that you love. Your darling sins, my friend. The pornography, the sodomy, the lesbianism. All your favorite sins today, All your darling pet sins that you love, that you've loved all your days and wallowed in. You come to the cross of Jesus and you leave your sins there at the cross for Jesus to wash away, because you're done with them. You're done with them. You're not going back there. That is, if you've been born again. Showing grief and sorrow for your sin. You see, my friends, another sign, another effect of a person having been born again is that Jesus gives them something they never had before. He gives them a hatred for sin. They hate it with every fiber of their being, and especially their own. You hate sin? You say, yes, a reality, but you've never been born again. He must be born again. Jesus, if you've been born again, will give you a hatred for sin. He will give you something you never had before. But faith and repentance, you see, they're twins. They're twins, you see. And they all emerge. They come out of this package, if you like. When Jesus causes a man, a woman to be born again, he brings all these things into play. He does it all. You see, this is a wonderful thing. Religion's something you do yourself. And you do for yourself. But that don't do nothing for you. I don't take the sin away. That don't take the lust away. I don't take the hatred. That don't give you the hatred for sin. I say something. Something. Jesus does it. He does it and he does it all. He must. Or, you've never been born again. Never, my friend. No sinner. Oh, I tell you, my friends, no sinner. Ever, I tell you, look to Jesus with dry eyes. Yes.
How long
are
you
going to
be here?
Well, he's another maybe half, 3/4 of an hour.
Yeah. I'll come speak here.
Roughly. Okay? So you see, my friends, nobody ever looked to Jesus with dry eyes. He melts the heart, he breaks the heart, he wounds the heart. Nobody ever looked to Jesus with a hard heart. He changes the heart, he melts it, he breaks it. must be broken, or you've never been born again. But you see, the Word of God comes to you time and again here in Hanley, and maybe your conscience troubles you. But the devil, you know, diabolus, the enemy of your soul, that's the one aspect of you that he hates with every fiber of your being. He hates your conscience. And he'll pour hardness into it. He'll pour concrete into your conscience. He'll pour pride into your conscience. Everything and anything to stifle it, he'll lead you to more sin and wickedness until your conscience is seared as with a hot iron. So that is disgusting. You are disgusting. You are disgusting. You are disgusting, sir. Yeah. That's what you'll get from the Almighty when you stand before him. Until your conscience is seared as with a hot iron. Things trouble you. Your conscience bothers you. It's a very, very precious thing, my friend. It's God's agent. It's his sheriff within you. And my friend, it's God's voice speaking to you. So listen to the voice of conscience. Do not harden yourself. Listen to the Word of God. Take heed. Even to what Jesus said. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Why? Because you must be. No other way. You can see. No other way you can enter the kingdom of God. Ye must. Ye must. Ye must. Be born again. Said the man, be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So today, my friend, in the love of Jesus and for the love of Jesus, that you might be healed, that you might be made well, that you might be given life and love, vitality, that you might be given salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ, the only, none other name under heaven, my friend. Matter concerns you. Take it to Jesus. Take it to him in prayer. Call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Not disappointed, not ashamed. Saved salvation. Miraculous. Free, wonderful, amazing grace of God in the person of His Son Jesus Christ, who calls you today. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Hanley. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, read about the love of Jesus, the lovely, lovely person of God's Son. Read about Him in God's Word. If you would like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Hanley, and have mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying soul.